Welcome and welcome back again to another episode of Global Tech Sailors. This is a podcast where we talk about all things tech and tech careers. Mm. And we have this tagline where we say this is where tech meets truth.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm your host, Faith Kilonzi. I'll be co-hosting with Marianne Mwikali. And this is such an exciting episode because we are talking about UI UX and how to break into UI UX as a career. If you're wondering what UI UX is, we have an amazing guest who's Sheila, and I mean, me, I can't speak much. I don't want to downsell her, so it's one of those things that you have to hear it from the horse's mouth. And but before we go on, Mwikali, how are you doing?
I am good. I am well. I can't complain.
How is the podcast taking you so far?
I think so far we are doing actually great, greater than we expected. The numbers are coming in. For those who are not yet sharing our work, what are you waiting for?
Exactly. One day we'll give a story of how we made it. While we're at it, please, can you subscribe to our channel? Can you follow? Rate us. Like, you can see a video over 1,000 views and only have like 10 likes. Please, please, any kind of interaction that you do with our podcast goes a long way in supporting us. So please make sure that you support us. Share this podcast with a lot of people, because I've realized that most people don't know about us and they're missing out. Please, can you be nice?
Yeah.
Let me not take so much time. So, Sheila, please introduce yourself and let's get to know you.
Thank you so much. My name is Sheila Chege. I'm a UX UI designer at Safaricom PLC.
Okay.
And I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, the credibility is already starting.
Hey, Safaricom PLC.
Please. Okay. Yeah, so like I said, we are mostly talking about UI UX breaking into. So we have this series that we've started as part of the podcast. We talk about breaking into different career paths in tech and different tech spaces, because tech is huge. So UI UX is just one of the career paths that you need to get into if you are interested in user interface, user design, product design, all those kind of things that has to do with the outlook of a product from the design. So maybe, Sheila, maybe before we go there, can you maybe just give us an overview of how you broke into tech before we can even talk about how to break into UI UX?
Okay, thank you. We were having that talk earlier. I know it sounded funny, but me breaking into UI UX was more of, I had it called PDD, that is poverty driven. Yeah, so it was that period after campus, after we had graduated and we were all looking for jobs and all that. So I was basically just at home making applications and all that, not getting feedback. So I was like, what can I do to actually keep myself busy during that period? And that's when I started to scroll for things that I could actually do to keep me busy during that time. And I remember as I was just going through YouTube, I saw something about UX UI. So I got interested. So out of curiosity, I just did a sneak peek to see what UX UI was all about. And funny thing, for me, it sounded quite interesting. So I started learning UX UI for fun.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was just following through what was being done, going through short courses online just to see what UX UI is all about. And yeah, the rest is history. Here I am.
Wow.
Okay, so maybe if I can ask, how was it for you, considering we did the same course, how was it for you now transitioning from what we did to UI UX? Like, was there a major difference? Was there a major learning journey? Can I call it a high learning curve or a steep one?
Actually, what we did in campus, what was information science,
mm.
somehow played a huge part with me catching up with UX UI,
mm.
especially for UX bit, because mm-hmm. in information science, we used to learn a lot about research
mm.
and all that. And when it comes to UX, it's pretty much doing research about your users. You need to do research yes. and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that bit for me to catch up was actually very easy. I'd say what took me a long learning curve was the UI bit, because you need to learn a lot of things when it comes to user interaction
mm-hmm.
and designing all the interfaces. So for me, that was kind of a whole shift into that career, that bit for UI.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it makes sense that for you to be able to design for a user, you need to know more about them, what will make sense to them.
Yeah,
what will catch their eye and all that.
Mm.
So maybe just so that we can carry everyone along.
Yeah.
If you are to explain what UI UX design is to an techie or just a tech enthusiast who doesn't have much information about it, what is it?
So UX UI in simple terms, mm-hmm. UX is pretty much user experience. User experience can be both for digital products and non-digital products.
Okay.
UX is how is a user's experience with your product. If you look at most of the items that are around us, the switch, the doorknob and all that,
yeah.
They were not just designed out of nowhere. It's how will the users interact with that particular mm-hmm. thing for mm-hmm. them to actually achieve a specific goal. So UX is all about a user's experience when interacting with anything, with a product, with a service and all that. When it comes to UI, that's pretty much about user interface design. So with interface design, it's all about how is your website or your mobile app, how is it structured, what are the colors that have been used, what are some of the font styles that have been used. Mm. That is UI design, just the look, how your product looks. And for UI, it's mostly for digital products, so that is mobile apps, websites, and all that. Mm. So how that particular digital product looks, that is the UI bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, what are some of the skills that you, as a person who's venturing into your UX, were seeking to learn? Mm-hmm. So what are some of those skills that you had to learn, like, prior to getting into your UX?
So I'll break it into two. We have the technical skills and you have the soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
So for the technical skills, you need to learn how to wireframe. You need to learn how to do prototyping. Mm-hmm. You need to learn how to structure your information architecture. You need to learn how to do your research. Mm-hmm. Those are the technical skills that you need to have mm-hmm. when you transition into UX,
mm-hmm.
UI. For the soft skills, you need to have empathy, because
because you have to see things from a yes. user's perspective.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like when you go to talk to a user, you need not to go with a
preconceived idea yes. of, oh, this is what they want.
Yes, exactly. You need to be a good listener. You need to sit there. You need to listen what they are going through, what are some of the challenges that they are facing. Mm-hmm. So you need to have that empathy. And some people might think that empathy is something that comes out naturally, but it's not. It's a skill that you need to have.
Okay.
Yeah. So for other soft skills that you need to have is collaboration, because obviously you'll be working with teams and all that. You'll be working with developers.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be working with product managers. You'll be working with other stakeholders. So you need to also have that aspect of collaborating with others.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to also be a good communicator, because if you're going to pitch your ideas, how will you communicate to your stakeholders?
Mm-hmm.
How will you get that buy-in from the stakeholders that you're engaging with?
Okay.
So yeah, those are basically some of the soft skills that you need to have and the technical skills.
Okay. That is
then in that same, that's interesting in terms of the skills that you want to learn. And it's, I've realized that you didn't even mention anything of you need to pursue bachelor's or a PMP or whatever, all these certifications that people have to do to get to maybe pursue some courses or break into some career paths, right? Yeah. So it's one of those things that I also want to follow up and ask, does it matter what I did in school? Because you also talked about your transition from information science to UI, UX. You even stumbled upon it on YouTube and you basically self-taught for most part.
Yes.
And you are working on Safaricom. Congratulations.
You're doing well.
You're doing well. I mean, from self-taught to Safaricom. Working here. And if you're in Kenya, you know Safaricom is one of those companies, big companies in Kenya, that if you're working there, it's even a validation to your own self. Because if you've self-learned and you've been able to get to this point, then show us, how do you learn?
Show us your ways.
Please. So maybe let's just kidogo talk about self-learning. Sometimes you hear people talking about, oh, you can just get into YouTube and learn something. But that is not as easy as it sounds. Maybe if you are to give someone who is trying to self-learn something, 3 tips, what would you give them?
3 tips?
Yes.
You need to be passionate about it. Otherwise, you will give up along. It really needs to be something that you want to do, that you want to explore and learn. So you need to be passionate about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What other thing can I say? Practice.
Yes.
You need to practice a lot. Uh-huh. You need to, and maybe the last thing I can say is, you need to find someone who can mentor you.
Yes.
And give you feedback in terms of whatever you're doing.
Especially in design work, where you actually need someone to look at this work and validate if it's good or not.
Yes.
Kind of like that eye, somebody who has that eye.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because especially for most designers, we tend to be so attached to our work.
Yes.
We never see any...
You don't want to see feedback.
Yeah, you don't want to see any faults with your design. Yes. So to you, your design is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to have that eye looking through your work and giving you feedback in terms of what you've done, it really helps you grow.
Yeah. Because it's not just you being obsessed with what you've created. It's you also getting feedback and improving on it.
Yes.
I like the fact that you talked about passion and discipline.
Yeah.
Because there was something I was reading the other day and was saying that sometimes in the days that maybe the motivation is not there, you need to be passionate enough to choose that thing that you wanted to do.
Yeah, true.
And it will take a lot of discipline to even wake up and do it
the same thing
even when it's not paying off.
The passion will carry you.
The passion will carry you a lot, a lot.
Mm.
Then to our listeners too, if you are looking to learn something, UI, UX, anything techie, anything that course that you've been wanting to to enroll, you have the tips. You need passion, you need discipline, you need to find a mentor. You need to practice but I also want us to talk briefly about the practice part, because in tech, it's very easy for you to be lost in the practice, but not just practice from your own mind, but from tutorials. Everything you need to do, you have to watch a video, you have to read a tutorial. At what point do you break out from the tutorial hell of constantly having to look at someone else's work for you to create your own? How do you get that courage to break away from the tutorial? And now you've been watching YouTube videos, you've been learning this course. Now you want to move from that to, let me create something original from my head. How?
So the best way to do that is to look for a problem. Or we have so many problems that exist out here, whether it's digital, whether it's anything else. So when you look for, we usually call them case studies. Mm-hmm. So just look for a problem that is currently in existence.
Yeah.
Then apply whatever you've learned mm-hmm. to come with a solution for it.
Yes.
That helps you break through from doing tutorials and looking at what other people are doing and then copy-pasting that yeah. to you doing your own original work.
Yes.
That helps you to break even from that. Mm-hmm. And once you are able to do that, that's how you start growing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because now it's coming from you.
Yeah, it's coming from you. You're using your own creativity. You're mm-hmm. using now, you're now applying whatever you've been seeing and doing to mm-hmm. now do something that is original for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe as a UI UX designer, are there some of the certifications you had to maybe learn, go mm-hmm. through
yeah.
for you to be where you are at right now?
Mm.
So what are some of them?
The first one is Google Coursera. Mm-hmm. Coursera, they have a very nice program for UX UI.
Mm-hmm.
It runs for a period of 6 months and it's self-paced.
Okay.
So you choose how you're going to go on with the classes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as by the end of the 6 months, you need to at least be done with it so that you can get your certificate.
Yeah.
But there are other certifications out there that you can look at. I think Moringa is offering certifications for UX.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
True. Yeah. We have Udemy. We have Career Foundry. Mm-hmm. We have the NNG Group, that is Nielsen Norman Group. We have Design Lab. Like, there are so many certifications mm-hmm. which are being offered out there mm-hmm. online based mm-hmm. that you can actually just take. You can. The good thing with Google Coursera is that for a person who is looking into transitioning into UX UI,
yeah.
it starts you with the basics, like the okay. very basics beginner of friendly. What UX UI is, and then you get to do projects because
yes.
after every lesson that you have, mm-hmm. you are given like a project for you to go do, and then you submit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Mm-hmm. So until you complete with the courses, now you get to have your certification. But there are so many other certificates out there that you can actually just look out, just get one, do it. Yeah.
And you'll be good to go.
Yeah, and you'll be good to go. And then now start practicing, start doing case studies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just as long as you just don't do the certificates
mm-hmm.
and then sit back and yeah. wait to get a job. It yes. won't work.
Yeah.
It won't work because you'll find yourself, you have a lot of theory,
yeah.
knowledge, but when it comes to application, you can't do it.
Can't do, okay.
Yeah.
Especially, and I think it's also a good thing that we point out the fact that this is hands-on.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's so hands-on that you might have done maybe just one certificate, mm. but you have like 10 or 5 projects that you can showcase
yeah.
with
yeah.
different, from different case studies, with different... Mm. Creative spots or all those things that you guys consider in UI UX
mm.
that it will help someone to even hire you without necessarily having to look at the certification
yeah. Yeah.
as long as you've built a portfolio
yes
yeah?
yes mm. yeah
I so think maybe a portfolio is very important actually
yeah, yeah.
Can you speak on that, especially in that one on portfolio
yeah.
if right now let's say you are now that you've made it yes, now that you're successful at what you're on a journey, yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We have to say you've made it now. But it's also one of those things that you know where you are right now.
Mm.
You're definitely not where you started.
Yes,
you're
yes.
definitely doing way better. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's say now, in a place where you work, mm. you've been put on a panel
mm.
to interview Mikali and I for
mm.
an UI UX designer position
mm.
in our portfolio. What will make you consider Mikali over me?
First thing is the creativity in your portfolio.
Okay.
We are designers.
Mm-hmm.
So your portfolio speaks a lot about you.
Mm-hmm.
Mikali's portfolio could mm-hmm. have like 2 projects.
Okay.
But how she has crafted her portfolio
mm-hmm.
is way better mm-hmm. than you who has like 10 projects,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a flat portfolio. It's just text, this is what I've done, this is the case study, like, it's more, one thing is interviewers do not have the time to go through your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So, the the quicker they can just take a look and already pick one or two things about you, the better than them having to read through your portfolio to get to know who are you as a UX UI designer.
So make it more visual and less wordy.
Yes, yes. Make it more visual. You are a designer. Let us see your creativity in your portfolio. In those projects that you've been doing, showcase those prototypes that you came up with.
Yes.
So like make it more visual and less wordy.
Because
designers speak through visual design, not through through text.
My story, what if I want to tell my story?
You can tell your story through visuals. Exactly.
Okay, now that you say Jerry in Safaricom, I'd want you to maybe paint a picture for us. How is it? How is your day today in Safaricom as a UI UX? What are some of the activities when you wake up? The research, you crafting, do you finish your work at 5? Or does it spill over like for most developers? So
maybe a day in the life of Sheila as a UI UX
as
designer.
A UI UX designer.
Safaricom PLC.
At Safaricom, I hope you guys have heard of the agile ways of working.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we work in sprints.
Okay.
So per every sprint, there's that work that you've dedicated to have completed by the end of a sprint.
Yes.
So a day-to-day life of Sheila is you wake up, you join stand-ups, you give
updates. Oh, you work from home. Okay.
Yeah. So our work environment is it's flexible. So it's hybrid. So you can either work from the office or from at home, depending on if you really need to be at the office. But most techies, I think, they just love working from home than from the office. So you just wake up, attend stand-ups, give updates of how far you've gone with the designs, probably attend other meetings if you have them scheduled during the day.
Yeah.
And then if you do not have any other meetings, finish up the designs. If you'll be done with the designs by 1 p.m., that's fine.
That's the end of your day.
That's the end of your day. Like, we do not really work or from 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 basis. We work by timelines.
Wow.
Yeah. So if by the end, so our sprints run on 2 weeks. So if on those 2 weeks you had dedicated that you'll have completed the full design, or you had dedicated that you'll have completed a few of the journeys, by the end of those sprints you are expected to have completed them.
So it doesn't matter when you're doing them, whether you wake up at night.
It doesn't matter if you do them at night, if you do them during the day. No one really cares, as long as at the end of the sprint you can deliver something. That's it.
Yeah. That's interesting, right?
Wow. Very interesting.
When I grew up, I wanted to be Sheila.
Please. I want to wake up also and live the life of Sheila. Wake up to commute.
Okay, maybe Faith can go then. Maybe before you actually go, can you tie this? Can you give us an example of you having a field day when you're going out to do research? So what does it entail mostly?
That's actually a really nice question. So when you're going to do a research, you need to first of all have a script of how you plan to do that research. You need to have documented well what your research is about, who are your users, where will the research happen, and what are some of the things that you expect to come from the research. So you need to have a fully detailed document about your research. And after you have that, now that's when you now organize. We have a research team. At Safaricom, mostly for us UX UI, we have one dedicated colleague who has dedicated herself to doing research. So you just liaise with her with how you want to do the research. She helps you to, like, what do you call it?
Come up with a script.
Come up with a script of how your research is going to do to look like, so that you can also organize who are the users that you intend to do the research with. Okay. And there are also other things that you need to have in mind, like transport. Is it somewhere that you need transport to travel to and all that? Are there any materials that you'll require for research? So after you are done with that, you now go to your actual users, sit with them, do the interviews, get feedback for whatever research that you had about them and all that. And then, yeah, come back to the office, analyze whatever insights you got from the research, and then now structure, or rather figure out how you can now visualize those solutions into a design.
Sounds ideal.
Yes.
I think Faith had a question.
Yes, I actually have two questions, but maybe let's start with one before we forget it. It's we said that being a UI UX designer, it's pretty hands-on. So you need a bit of, you need to learn a few tools. So when it comes to tools and technologies, for us, we are also, we are always looking for new tools and technologies
to apply now,
to make our work easier and all that.
Yeah.
Yes, please. And in the same breath, we also did an episode that talks about our favorite tools and technologies that boost our productivity and also help us in our day-to-day work. We are both software engineers, so most of the time our work is mostly software engineering. But now, since we are in UI UX, what are some of the tools that you must know as a UI UX designer?
So some of the tools that you must really know as a UX UI designer is Figma.
Yes.
And Adobe XD. Because that is your work tool. You cannot do designs without them.
So that's like Visual Studio for us.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are your tools that you need to be very hands-on with.
Okay. So, and just to bring it home, and also to take advantage of you, since you are on our podcast.
Take advantage.
Alice, I'm honest. So we are thinking of creating a website for Global Tech Sellers. Global Tech Sellers is a whole enterprise with several products, and one of the products is a podcast which talks about all things tech and tech careers. So just at a high level, just give us a snippet of the one thing that, if you are designing this website for us, what is the one thing that you should have as a creator?
The first thing, we'll need to have a session. I'll need to, first of all, understand what your website is all about.
We've already established this podcast. Give us answers.
Okay. The next thing is requirements gathering.
Okay.
Like, I'll need to know what exactly needs to appear on that website.
Okay.
Like, podcast. Each and every detail.
Okay.
Like you said, podcasts and other products. So I'll need to know which are.
So let's focus on the podcast.
So after doing requirements gathering is coming up with a quote.
Okay.
Quotes.
The money. Please, let's keep that part. Let's keep that
part. I don't talk about it also.
Let's keep that part. Yes. Let's go direct to UI UX.
Yes. After now coming up with a quote and we all agree that trauma. This is what we are going to work with, the next thing is timelines. Like how long, how long can I, like what's the timeline that I can work with for me to come with an MVP?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So after we've agreed on the timelines, that's when I can now proceed to doing the design for the first MVP. And then after that, we then again have a session to just look at the MVP and see if whatever you expected is already there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So it's kind of like a step.
Like a
procedure.
Yeah.
Okay.
We thought you were about to design the entire website for us, right?
No, please. You know your worth.
You know, she knows her worth. And she's even talking about quote. We don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving all my time and effort and creativity into coming up with the website.
No, we'll consult you. We'll consult you when that day comes. Okay. So on there, as you finalize, because you're running out of time, is what would you say is... What are the different career
opportunities
in UI UX space
that for someone who is trying?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by what are the differences?
Like, besides working, like, do you think there are, like, in terms of the way tech space is divided right now,
mm-hmm.
what do you think are some of the opportunities in UI UX design? Besides being a UI UX designer?
So, actually, UI UX, there are two different careers, but mm-hmm. in Safaricom, we do both.
Oh, okay.
It's mandatory you do both.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be purely a UX designer.
Okay.
So your work is just crafting how the experience for a user is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be a UI designer. So your work is coming up with the visuals, how will the layout look like, which colors are going to go into where, what are some of the micro interactions in that product.
Yeah.
So that's UI design.
Mm-hmm.
The other career that someone can explore is being an information architect.
Okay.
So what an information architect does pretty much is how they structure how the information is going to flow
mm-hmm.
in a website or a mobile app
mm-hmm.
from start to finish.
Okay.
So you need to make sure that how the information runs down is easier for a user to actually go through
mm-hmm.
and achieve whatever they want to achieve with that particular product.
Okay.
Or you can be a UX writer.
Okay.
So your work mainly focuses on coming up with the copy because
mm-hmm.
Definitely there are texts in our digital product. Okay. So their work is coming up with that copy, making sure that it's something that users can actually read
mm-hmm.
and understand.
Making more it like copywriting.
Yes, it's actually more of copywriting, but okay. now UX based.
Okay.
So you need to make sure that the copy that you're using is not jargon or it's not too technical, that a user can't really understand what you're trying to communicate with your product.
Okay.
So, yeah, those are pretty much some of the careers that you can explore in UX, UI.
Yeah. I think we'll be sure maybe to list some more if we find them along the way.
Yes, definitely.
And I think it also ties into one of the episodes that we did mm-hmm. previously on non-coding career or zero coding career opportunities in tech.
Yeah, yeah.
And from what you've listed, you don't need to learn how to code. You just need to understand the user and be able to translate that
and be good with colors.
Products. Also forgot.
Yes.
No, you don't need to be really good with colors. Because you need to understand what each color means in a digital product. It's not just about playing around
with colors have meanings.
Yes. Yeah. Colors have
can't be using yellow everywhere.
You can't just
please,
use yellow for the sake of
I'm Kamba. If you saw my website when I was learning programming.
In UX, there's something called color theory that you need to learn. Because you need to know what emotions evoke from a user with different colors. Netflix doesn't use red for the sake of using red. They have a reason behind why they decided.
Is it because
to
of horror
red.
Things?
Yeah.
Danger.
Yeah. So you need to understand your color theory.
Those that are captivated by dark movies.
Yeah, dark movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also forgot to mention there's the other career that you can explore in UX is being a researcher. You can be pure. You can decide to be purely a UX researcher. So your work is just going to the field, talking with the users and all that and getting feedback.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, maybe as we close, can you give us a parting shot as a UI UX designer in Safaricom?
Yes. Okay. UX UI is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun if you are someone who likes to engage with people. If you like to engage with people, it's fun. If you're someone who is a creative, it will also work for you because UX UI also needs creativity. You need to know how to craft things on your product.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last thing is UX UI right now in Kenya is still green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there are huge opportunities for UX UI designers because I think companies have now realized the value of UX UI. It was not there before because guys still did not really understand what UX UI was all about.
Yes.
But the more companies have now started seeing the value of having of doing UX UI, there's a huge opportunity for them out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think
I work as a tech writer. Maybe it's about
yeah, time you shifted. Yeah. And I think there you have it, guys. We've heard of opportunities, we've heard of certifications, we've heard of
skills, the tools.
You've heard that your UX is green, so please let's not flood the programming.
If you're doing programming UX and you don't like it, here's an option.
Yes,
Sheila's giving us an option.
Yeah. You need to be passionate, so please explore first.
Yeah.
Sheila, where can we find you?
Yeah.
LinkedIn, Sheila Chege. Twitter, Sheila Chege. I'm not on Facebook. IG, Sheila Chege.
MySpace?
I'm not on MySpace.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Please.
It's such an honor to have you. Yeah. And we're so, so grateful to have had this conversation with you. At least for me, it has really been helpful and given me a few pointers on at least what it entails and all that. And also, a wholesome conversation, obviously brought to you by Global Tech Sellers.
Yes.
This is a podcast too, where we talk about our things tech, and this is where tech meets truth. Mm-hmm. Follow us on our various social media platforms at GTech Sellers across social media. Then
the streaming platforms, Global Tech Sellers, that is on Spotify, Amazon, anywhere, even on YouTube, you're just Global Tech Sellers.
And bye-bye.
Till next time.